Have you ever went and got a service, paid for that service, and realized that the one did that service didn't do what you paid them to do? As a matter of fact, have you ever taken your vehicle in and got an oil change or some type of service, and you got in your vehicle and you have feet marks, oil marks on your carpet, on your rugs, on your mats, and you say, man, what's going on with this? Well, how about if you ever went to a dentist, and while you're in the chair, instead of them suctioning the water out, they just leave it in your mouth, and you're almost choking to death. You think about things like that, and you're like, man, what's going on? Have you ever known anyone to take the trash out and didn't put a liner back in? Right? Do you know that the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to be a people who are giving our best? I was thinking about this, and I thought about a brother, and I was talking to another brother about this, and he went to go get a haircut. And, you know, the barber finished his haircut and put his hairline way back here. And, you know, he thought everything was pretty good. He walked out, and so happened a friend walked in as he was walking out, and he went, man, what happened? He's like, what are you talking about? He said, man, your hairline is way back here. He said, man, stop playing. And sure enough, he looked into the mirror, and sure enough, his hairline was way back there. And he went, man, I paid that guy $20. He didn't get what he paid for. You know, sometimes people do the bare minimum, but they're expecting the most. It's interesting that when we consider our attitudes, there are many in the world that we live in today that are trying to do the least and trying to get the most benefit. We stop and we think about this attitude, and this attitude is displayed in our nation in a very mighty way today for some reason. Even those of the world are seeing that people are very lethargic in their work ethic. Yet there is no excellence, if you will. And the Bible teaches that we ought to be a people of excellence, striving to do our best. Most people like to get a good deal, and nothing wrong with that, I guess. People like to bargain. Yet when it comes to being God's people, the Word of God teaches us that we ought to be a people that are working hard. Reminded of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse number 11, whatever you find your hands to do, do it with all of your might. And Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 5, as a matter of fact, turn your Bibles there. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through verse number 42, Jesus would address this particular situation, this attitude. And we consider this from the very words of our master. He said, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You think about this attitude that Jesus is speaking of. And the one that really captures my attention and has always captured my attention is the one in verse number 41. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. You think about the background of that attitude there, and during this particular time, a soldier could compel anyone to carry their backpack, if you will. And Jesus gives an attitude that is beyond measure. He says, just don't carry that soldier's backpack, if you will, 1 mile. But you tell him you're going to take it 2. Can you imagine what was going on in the mind of that one that was compelling him to go 1 mile? Well, today we live in a time where people feel entitled. Yet, sometimes even those who feel entitled are belittling the ones that made the sacrifice to get us to where we are today. And I'm not just talking about in the church of our Lord, but in the nation that we live in even today. And as the people of God, we should not settle for the minimum. We should not settle for the least, if you will. There are a few things I want us to talk about, and I believe that it will encourage us, because I know that this group that comes back on Sunday nights needs that encouragement. But every now and then we need to be encouraged not to settle. Not to settle for anything, but to do our best. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'll meet you there in a few minutes. Jesus teaches us that we ought to be a people who deny ourselves. If we're going to be that people that have the right attitude, right mentality, and teach the world around us to have the mentality of going the extra mile, doing your best, no matter what, then it's going to take that individual denying themselves, putting their hands to the plow and not looking back, if you will. It's going to require a great love for God, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It's going to require that we love God every single day as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. But the first thing I want us to consider that we should not settle for the minimum. We should not settle for the minimum in our love for God, in our sacrificial service to Jehovah. Here we find Paul as he is talking to the Corinthians. This is a familiar passage to us who are students of the Bible. And he brings up the Macedonian church. And I love the Macedonian church. The Apostle Paul loved them as well. We take notice of something about the Macedonians. Look at, starting at verse number 1, we'll end in verse number 5. He said, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality," their giving. Here, this poor congregation did something that was mighty, that was powerful. They gave liberally. "For I bear witness," I give evidence, "I bear record that according to their ability, yea, and beyond, they just didn't give the bare minimum, Brother Royce. They went beyond." Now, how do you go beyond what you have? If anything, what they did was they really reached down deep and they sacrificed things that they could have used for their own personal benefit, but for the Lord and for the Apostle Paul. Notice what he goes on to say. They went beyond their ability. They were freely willing, imploring us, begging us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hope, but notice this attitude that they had. And friends, they didn't have the bare minimum attitude. They weren't just trying to give the Apostle Paul what he needed, but they wanted to make sure that Paul was taken care of. Notice what he says. "But they first gave themselves to the Lord." If the people of God, if people are going to have the attitude of not doing as least as possible to get by, they have to first give themselves over to the Lord. Their hearts have to be first to God, and then notice, "and to us by the will of God." So we urge Titus, so forth and so on. The more I thought about that, I thought about an Old Testament illustration. Turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel. And keep in mind that the things that are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, I don't know if this is a familiar story for some of us, but remember, David had just conquered his mighty men, did a very valiant thing, and keep in mind that David had numbered the people, and this angered the Lord. And the Bible demonstrates to us in verse number 10 of 2 Samuel chapter 24, and David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. David had acted and behaved very foolishly before God by numbering the people. Some would say that he numbered the people because maybe of a lack of faith. Well, that's neither here nor there, but here's the problem. David numbered the people, and he shouldn't have because God didn't tell him. But David, his heart condemned him. Put this in your notes if you're taking notes. Romans chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. 1 John 3 and verse number 20 and 21, as it relates to the heart, as it relates to the conscience, and as it relates to us being condemned or approved before God. And so we see something very powerful here. But David knew that he sinned against God. And something happened. In verses 19 through verse number 25, a great man by the name of Arana offered to give David everything he needed, Brother Brian, to offer to the Lord because of the transgression that he transgressed against God. And David said something that's powerful, worthy of our consideration. David wasn't one that was willing to just offer God anything. David wasn't one that wanted to give God the bare minimum. Yet we find something with David. Look at verse number 24. Then the king said to Arana, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. David could have easily taken that from Arana. It didn't cost him anything. Oh, wow, you want to give me this so I can offer it to the Lord? Well, yeah. David said, no, because it cost me nothing. No sacrifice whatsoever. David was not going to settle for the bare minimum. As a matter of fact, he bought the threshing floor. And notice what he bought it for. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and a peace offering. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Brother Brian, what does that teach us? That when we offer anything unto God, it ought to cost us something. It made me think about Romans chapter 12. Turn your Bibles there. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Mike, get 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 through 9. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, Paul, as he is talking to the Roman brethren, and this is after he had just made a great point, because if God would sever himself from his own people in order to bring in the Gentiles, you Gentiles, don't get beside yourself as if God won't do that to you. And so he says something very powerful, because God's love and God's wisdom and the depths of it are very deep. And so he says, I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you, Matthew 16:24, self-denial. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you your mind, meaning that you got to give up on the carnal things, the worldly things, the unholy things, and you got to possess a holy mindset, a mindset of conviction, a mindset of courage, a mindset of sacrifice. But you're not a dead sacrifice, you're a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God has always wanted the best. Even when we consider our worship to God, this is our sacrificial service, our everyday life to God. But even in 1 Peter chapter 2, read verse number 5. What does the Bible there say? 1 Peter 2 and verse number 5, what does the Bible say? Now notice that verse, friends. We are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, and we're to do something. We're to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not carnal. Which means that when we come before God in our worship to God, it has to be spiritual. It has to be that which is led according to the Spirit. Which means that we have humbled ourselves before God. We are a holy people, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15 and 16. And we're offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable through Jesus Christ. I stop and I consider that. And I've been thinking, God wants the best. And he deserves the best. And as David did not want to offer up anything that didn't cost him anything, shouldn't we be the same? We ought to offer up to God the best and not settle for the bare minimum. Now, this probably should be a Sunday morning lesson because there are many on Sunday morning sometimes. They're asleep, half awake, probably been up all night doing this or that, not singing. Not offering up God everything, their whole fiber, their being. And sometimes, even when I'm preaching, I see people dozing off. And I think, I wonder if they doze off at work. I wonder if they doze off if their spouse is talking to them. I wonder if they fall asleep while they're behind the wheel. Friends, when we stop and we consider we shouldn't be settling, we ought to have the attitude of putting our best foot forward at all times with God. Number two, giving the minimum is not good in our relationships, our homes, our jobs, even here, even with the world. I like this point probably the best. Are we settling at times at home in our personal relationships? Could we spend more time being more attentive, more encouraging with our words? Should we let each other know that we're praying for them? I love you. Could we take a little bit more time cuddling and talking? Y'all smile. You know, we could spend a little bit more time cuddling. Well, I'm trying to help some of y'all. I ain't talking to the singles, I'm talking to the married folk. Let me button up just in case you try to get me after services. Think about it, friends. Sometime in our relationships, because we take one another for granted, we start to settle for the minimum. But if anything, we ought to be giving our best. The older we get, the more mature we become, we ought to be giving more. Why? Because we're learning, we're growing. We're a people of excellence. Under that same point, how about our jobs? Are we settling for the least when we know that God is watching us? Turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, it's interesting that the Christian has a great responsibility to make sure that they represent God well before those who are non-Christians. We have a great responsibility. In Colossians chapter 3, did I say 2? I thought so. In Bible class, Brother Sherdo, I have to go here. In Bible class, I kept thinking I said two. And Chad kept saying, you're not saying two. It sounded like I'm saying two in my head. I was like, man, maybe I need some medication. But in chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, notice the attitude that the worker ought to have. Bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service. You know, there are some, you can tell on your jobs or even in some of our shows, sometimes I like to watch Undercover Boss, and you'll see some of those workers, and they're doing the bare minimum. Instead of out there working in the yard or doing their chores or making sure that they're cleaning on the inside, they go to the restroom and they're texting. And here he says, as a Christian, we're not doing it with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, reverencing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That's interesting. Brother James, if your boss, your employer, is not watching you go about doing the carpet cleaning, can you just cut corners because he's not watching? Of course not. Of course we can't. As a matter of fact, if anything, we know that the Lord is watching his people. He watches everything that we do. So I'm doing this job and I'm doing a great job because I'm a Christian and because God is watching me. I'm not going to settle for the bare minimum. Notice verse 24. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 9, we see the same language, but there's something else in here that I want us to draw out. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. God wants us to do the best. And friends, we have Old Testament examples. I have three of them. We have Old Testament examples of individuals that did their best and they were acknowledged for it. It is all right to do your best. In the book of Daniel chapter 6, Daniel chapter 6 in the life of Daniel, we find something very interesting about this man of God. Keep in mind that Daniel, he wasn't around his people always. There were only a few, and we know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were one of the few that were faithful. So we can conclude very safely that Daniel was around the Babylonians, the Medes, and the Persians. That's like Christians being around non-Christians all of the time. And friends, he was around these people. And notice something about Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 3 that the Bible clearly demonstrates to us. Then this Daniel distinguished himself. He made a difference between those in whom was in his circle, if you will, above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought, setting him over the whole realm. Is it interesting that when we don't settle, just like Daniel didn't settle, we may get exalted just like Daniel got exalted? Which we ought to be teaching our young people. It's all right to work hard, and people don't have to always pat you on your back. And you might not get the raise immediately or the promotion immediately, but if you stay with it, people will exalt you. Look at Genesis chapter 41. In Genesis chapter 41, we see this idea and this attitude again. In verses 37 through verse number 30, verse number 45. Remember the turmoil and the hardships that Joseph went through because of the lies of others. And now we find Joseph and he is rising to power. Why? Because of his attitude, because of his wisdom and his discerning. In verse number 39, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and over all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you being on the job, and because you work hard and you have the right attitude and you're being a Christian, you got someone who is outside of the will of God, and they see your characteristics, and they say, I want you to be over everything. All because you're not settling. I've learned, and I've seen this over some years, especially when I was a full-time mechanic at Gun Acura. It's interesting how people would want to cut corners, all because they're trying to get to the next job. We worked on commission. And so if you didn't turn out work, you didn't get paid that much, which meant that there was a competition there. And it never failed, Brother Stephen. When someone would settle and do the bare minimum or cut some corners, that car would come back. You're like, so-and-so, we got this car, it got your number on it. Already worked on that car. We know. Now you think about that. All because they were trying to cut some corners. We can't cut corners. Notice what he says in verse number 40. Verse 41. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain about or around his neck. And he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee, so forth and so on. He had risen to the second chair, second in command, if you will, which demonstrates to us that if we won't settle, friends, never know what might just happen. Nehemiah is another case, and we don't have time to really look at that, but Nehemiah was known for his great attitude, and friends, we ought to be known for ours as well. But I save this one for last. Sometimes we settle for the minimum in our Bible study and reading. I've gotten, and I have this in my notes, I've gotten in more trouble in my own Bible reading and conclusion of the scriptures, Brother Royce, because of laziness. Turn to Psalm 119, 160. It's a familiar passage of scripture. In Psalm 119, 160, we understand that the psalmist is exalting the word of God. Yet he says something very interesting that's worthy of our consideration. I remember on many occasions I would call my dear friend up, Joshua Rodriguez, and I would say, man, I'm having a problem with this understanding here. And he would say, he would always ask this question to the point that I wouldn't even call him no more. I would ask myself the question. He said, Mike, did you look up all of the passages on that subject? No. He even got to the point, don't call me until you look up all of the passages. Now think about that. In Psalm 119 and 160, this is Bible. New King James Version says the entirety, I believe the King James or another version, American Standard, the sum of thy word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. The sum, the entirety, it made me think about, remember when Paul was struck by the Lord with the bright light, and I believe Brother Brian, I believe you taught on that, or somebody taught on that. Anyway, if you're not careful, it's four different accounts of that. And if you leave one account of that particular story out, you won't get the whole story. You won't conclude well. And sometimes, and this happens in the denominational world all of the time, well, I read Mark's account, and I don't understand why there is a discrepancy in Matthew's account. Well, did you read Luke's account? Did you read the account about the conversion of Paul in the book of Acts? If you didn't, then you're not going to conclude properly. And sometimes, because of my own laziness, I don't conclude properly. And so now I ask myself this question. Mike, have you looked up every single passage concerning that subject? And if I tell myself no, I keep going to the drawing board till I get done. And I remember doing a study on the Holy Spirit, and I believe there's 579 verses on the Holy Spirit. It's over 500 passages. And I had to read all of those passages. That's a lot of passages to read. And you know how tiresome that can get? It's tedious. And so it reminded me of what Jesus said in John 5, verse 39. You remember what he told those religious leaders? He said, search the scriptures. He didn't say search the scripture. He said, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. Do you think that they was just going to go find one passage that was going to be talking about the coming of the Messiah and what the Messiah was going to do? No, sir, and no, ma'am. They had to search them all. Reminded me of those in Berea. They searched the scriptures. They wanted to make sure that what Paul was saying was true. What if Paul was talking about all of these Old Testament prophecies, and instead of looking up all 50 of them, they'll look up 40 of them? Then they wouldn't get all of the story. It's the same thing, friends. So when we stop and we consider, we have to look up all of the passages, and we shouldn't settle for the bare minimum. And so sometimes when we consider, why do we have that attitude? Could it be that we just haven't trained ourselves? We haven't trained ourselves in going the extra mile. And every single time, friends, that we do what God will have us to do, if our hearts are right, we say, I'm so glad I did that. I'm so glad I went the whole way and not just some of the way. It made me think about this. Can you imagine having a loved one, a mother or a father, and you take them to the hospital, and the orderly or the nurse doesn't do a complete job on them? Or maybe they had to clean them up and they didn't clean them all the way up. How would you feel about that? I wouldn't like it. I would say, you get back in here and you clean up my mother. That's your job. And sometimes people are just, they're okay with settling for the minimum. So let us be a people who don't settle for the minimum at home when it comes to our chores, our work assignments, our schoolwork. Let's work hard. Even in the Lord's church, let's work hard. Let's not give God the rest. However, let's give God the best. And I guarantee you, if you keep that up, you'll see some changes in all of your attitude. And that's really what God is working on. He's working on our attitude. That we don't give God the rest. We give God the best. Let's have a word of prayer and I'll let you go. Our God and our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have blessed us in a mighty way. We're thankful for your word. It has the power to save, but it also has the power to encourage, the power to edify, the power to rebuke and to reprove. And for that, Father, we're thankful. We pray to Father that you'll be with those of us who have exercised great wisdom, that we may be able to take these words and not only encourage ourselves with them, but encourage others. Help us to be a people who don't settle for just the bare minimum, but help us to be a people who are looking for opportunities to do our best, whether the task is small or large. For we know, Father, that your Son say, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. And we pray to Father that we'll be a people who are also faithful in little, that we may be faithful in much. We love you, Father, and we ask that you continue to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, for we know that wisdom comes from you, and knowledge and understanding comes forth from your mouth. And Father, help us to always go to your mouth, your mind, in order for us to learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to be. We want you to consider. Don't settle for denominationalism. Don't settle for idolatry and the gods of this nation, if you will. But come all the way over. Come all the way over to Christianity. by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to repent, be willing to confess Jesus Christ, be willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Or maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. Anything that we can do, stand and let's sing the song of invitation.